Good afternoon, and welcome to the Boldness on Wednesday, the 31st of July, 6 p.m. My name is Rafael Caleb. We've certainly had some very, very cold and freezing weather over the past few weeks. Now, the Boldness is about a platform where people talk about their experiences, especially lived experiences of disability, so that people with a disability have a voice in mainstream media. And there's two extremely very important guests today. I'd like to welcome Rick Rui from Ballard. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Raf.
And good morning to David from Ballard. How are you today, David?
I'm good, thanks, Raf.
That is absolutely excellent. Today, Ballard has been running a couple of programs, and they've got a new program, but let's start at the very, very, very beginning, and this question will be for Rick. What is Ballard?
Okay. Thanks, Raf. So Ballard is primarily an advocacy service for people with intellectual disability, Victorian Advocacy League for individuals with disability. We also do a whole bunch of projects. So there's several different areas of Ballard, community development. There's like a fee-for-service arm called Ballard Connect. And there's also what we do, which is self-advocacy projects and programs.
Excellent. Now, recently, over a couple of years, there was a project program called Validate. What was Validate?
Maybe, David, you can explain that.
It was a peer-based program where people with lived experience of disability went into group homes to interview the residents about their service and their right. But it was around self-advocacy.
Yeah, so self-advocacy empowerment was the focus, and the basis of a lot of the questions were around the Victorian disability standards at that point.
But why is it important that people know about the disability standards, David?
Because then they understand about their rights, and if they know that, then they know how to make a complaint and know about how they can self-advocate for themselves, then people will suffer less from abuse because they know when to point it out and when to get help.
Yeah, that's great. And I can also add that the services are also bound by the standards. So there's things like service management that are really important that people need to know about. And the very important stuff that David is talking about, very good for people to have an understanding and for the questions to be based on those, because they are people's rights and also service responsibilities to people.
Well, it certainly is extremely important that people with a disability are aware of what their rights are and understand that they have the right to lodge complaints about what is actually going on, the right to speak up. But what are the types of rights that people would find out about? What could people speak up about, David?
Might speak up if they feel like they might they might feel like they like and feel safe in their home, but sometimes they may not, and they might mention to us that they want to move places, and then when we write our report and put it in, we can put in a recommendation that the service needs to investigate new accommodation that's better for this person.
Right. And in a group home, what are the types, like, for example, what happens when there is conflict in a group home, David?
Conflict.
Or problems in a group home.
Sometimes residents might fight each other or be nasty to each other. There could be conflict between staff and resident.
So what would happen, David, in that case? What can people do?
A resident might pull a seat away from someone that they're sitting on so they fall backwards and hit their head on the ground.
Yeah, but in terms of how can they speak up? Like, what kinds of things can they do?
They can speak up and they might say, I feel like sometimes I feel unsafe. I feel like I'm getting punched or pushed. And then we would write that into the recommendation and just say that the service needs to look at better supporting residents in conflict.
Right. Well, what are
yes.
And that's kind of like, that's a really important thing because people really need to feel safe where they live. And it's, I said, it's a fundamental human right, the right to be safe, especially in their own homes where people can make their own, where people make their own choices. And what about, David, what happens when, what are the types of conflict that might happen or problems between, let's say, staff and residents?
Maybe a resident might want a snack or something and say if the cupboards were locked and another resident there might not be able to have food at that time, and the resident that wants the food might get into an altercation with the staff because they'd like to have the snack and the staff have told them no, even though that it's their right to have one.
Right, now going a little bit across here to Rick. Now, Rick and David, and David, please jump in with whatever you'd like to speak about. What was some of the, how long did the validate program run for?
So the validate program started in 2019, so it had been going for 6 years, which is quite a long time for a program, which is basically the life of the contract between the government services that were basically looking after the houses that homed people with primarily intellectual disability, and they went across to new providers that were non-government providers. And this is the staff we're talking about. So there was staff that worked for the government that then went across to five different providers. We call them transition providers. I just want to add to what David was saying earlier, a lot of the times that we went to group homes, there was also some positive stuff that we saw. So we would not only highlight things that maybe weren't so great, but we'd also highlight some really good practice that was happening in the group home as well. So I just wanted to add that for balance.
Yep, of course. That's a really, really great things. Now, David, what were some of the really great things and good things you saw about the group homes?
A lot of the time, the people that people with lived experience that went into group homes with an advisor present. Sometimes we observe things and we might say that in our report in the recommendations that staff need to be praised for the work they're doing with the residents' individualized needs, making sure that they are independent as possible.
Yeah, good one, David. That was something that we saw. So staff would be doing things with residents rather than for residents. So that was a very positive thing that that David's outlined that we saw in houses.
Yeah, it certainly is. Like a long, long, long time ago in the late 1990s, that was when I remember person-centred planning came into place. And to really tie this all together, David and Rick. Now, the Validate program, would it be how successful was it?
Good question. David, how successful do you think that the Validate program was?
I think it was very successful.
So what's the reasons to that you think that you're saying that?
the individual providers where they had homes that we were to go in and interview the residents, the management would take into consideration of, our recommendations, and they generally want to make the home better for the people that live there.
Yeah, and I agree. And that was in the report. So every year we would do a number of reports, and one of them was to government, and the providers would basically talk to us and say that why the Validate was valuable for them, in particular getting feedback from people directly that they otherwise wouldn't, and, you know, like, and praising the team lived experience to, you know, in terms of being able to get in there in like a casual, non-formal way and speak to people around what was important to them.
Well, is that sounds like an absolutely fantastic outcome, and it's been an exciting development. We're going to play some community service announcements first, and then we'll be back talking with David from Valid and Rick Rui from Valid. Welcome back to the Boldness on 3CR 855 AM, where the Boldness is a platform where people with a disability, with their lived experience of disability, have a platform on mainstream media talking about what is going on. And at the moment, we've got two extremely important guests from Valid, David and Rick Rui. Now, one of the big, we were just talking before the community service announcements about a program called Validate. Now, there's been a, sounds like it was a very big successful story, did some great things for people with a disability, and that's been coming to a new program, Activate?
Yep, correct.
Right. Now, is Activate, what actually is Activate? Is it a brand new program? Does it go further than Validate, for example? And is it just extension, or is it a completely fresh look at things, Rick?
So Activate is builds on the Validate. So it takes, I think, what we learned and the different things within the Validate and expands on them. The difference between them, there's quite a few differences, but and David could probably talk about those differences within the programs, but it really is an extension of the Validate and what it was doing in Victorian group homes in particular. The Activate moves further, or broader than what we have in the past.
So, David, what are some of the new things that this new program Activate will do?
So, at the moment, Activate is in the early stages where the people that with lived experience that are working on the project are sitting down and refigurating the questions that we're going to ask people. We chose new pictures. We've had to also like do a path plan of the project. We also have to learn how to write reports differently for some settings. As Active A, not only will we be going into group homes, we'll be going to like day centres and ADE, like Australian Disability Employment Enterprises.
Yep, and kind of like now, David, why is it really important that people have a voice from a lived experience perspective with programs such as Activate?
I think it's important that everyone that has an intellectual disability know their rights and how to make a complaint when they're receiving services from people, from companies.
Yep, and with Activate, new questions and there's new settings and new reports.
Yeah.
Like with Activate, it's a Victorian-based program.
Oh, okay. So, the questions that we're doing now for Activate, are based on the national disability standards rather than the Victorian-based ones.
Why are we doing that? Why are we moving to national standards, David? What's happening later on, hopefully, in the project?
So later on in the project, hopefully we can go to interstate and show the advocacy organisations there that are linked in with Inclusion Australia to learn how we do our jobs so they can have people that will be able to do what we're doing in Victoria in their state.
So Activate will become hopefully a national program. So it'll be taken across Australia rather than just Victoria. What Dave was talking about earlier, we're in the very early stages of co-design. So David and his team, people with lived experience of intellectual or disability, and they also, in David's case and others, have been exposed to different settings within the system. So I think they bring a lot of themselves into the program, a lot of understanding of what it's like to actually be part of something rather than professionals that haven't been a part of that. So the thing that I see as a manager is the team bringing their own experiences, their own insights into the program and into the development of things, and that really makes a difference in terms of how the program looks and feels, and how it relates to people that are in congregate settings or group homes or day services. So I think that's very unique, that we're led by our team of people with lived experience of disability. It's a very important part of the program.
I'm going to jump in here. I'd actually say that I've been involved with disability advocacy and disability activism for 28 years, and I believe that the peer-based models, which are driven by peer-based values and peer-based experiences, are the ones that actually benefit people with a disability, where it's co-designed with their peers over what's important for people with a disability, are the ones that actually are very, very successful. And for clarification, David and Rick, I'm not too sure what is the difference between the Victorian disability standards and the national disability standards.
That's an interesting question, actually. Maybe David, did you want to comment on this, or did you want me to comment?
I can give a
Go for
little
it.
bit. The Victorian standards are based on the Victorian Government Disability Standards, whereas the National Disability Standards is for national. I can only say a little bit on that. Rick could probably evaluate more into it.
So basically, thanks, David. So basically, each government, state government, has their own standards that they hold providers up to and responsibilities. And with the NDIS coming in a few years ago, there was quite a big push to make that more a national thing. So you'll find that a lot of there's a lot of similarities between the national standards and the Victorian standards. It's just the national standards cover all NDIS providers, whereas the Victorian standards may cover different areas of Victorian services as such, but they have very, very, very similar things in them. So there's a standard around people's rights. They're just written in a different way, but it's basically similar, in a sense, if that makes sense.
Well, look, yes, I'm going to actually try to verbalize, clarify to see if I can make sense out of it. The way I understand it from what we've been told, that if you're in a different state, not Victoria, let's say South Australia, Western, these are only examples. If I lived in South Australia, there might be something like the South Australian Disability Standards. And in Western Australia, there might be the Western Australian Disability Standards. In Victoria, there's the Victorian Disability Standards. However, what if there's the National Disability Standards? Do they cover everybody in Australia, whereas the state disability standards only cover people that are in that state specifically.
Yeah, well, that's correct, Raf. The difference being is that the disability, so I can really talk about the Victorian one. So the Victorian disability standards don't only apply to disability service providers. They apply to child protection. They apply to different areas of service provision within Victoria. So not just disability service providers. That's where it's a little bit. So you still have the Victorian standards, but they might go across different areas, whereas the national standards cover all NDIS providers. So that's where the difference really is now.
Well, look, thank you very much for that, Rick. That makes things a lot clearer for hopefully listeners. Now, this has been a really fascinating discussion and very, very informative about what was Validate and the new Activate programs which have been put together by Valid. Now, what is the best way to find out more, Rick and David?
If people want more information or services want more information on Activate and they would like us to come and talk to their participants or residents, then they can contact Valid via the phone number or go onto the website and send an email, or they might even see a flyer with our contact details on it.
Yep.
I think Rick can evaluate more on this.
Yep. Now, Rick, I'm going to go straight across and say, what is the Validate website? What is the website for Valid?
So Valid is www.valid.org.au. So if you put that into your Google, it'll come up. But even if you just write in Valid, you'll find one of the first search things is our organisation that pops up, which is nice. So that's www.valid.org.au. And our phone number here at Valid is 03, because we're in Victoria, 9416-4003. I'm pretty sure that's it. we don't use phones too often these days, but I'm pretty sure that's it. So 9416-4003.
Well, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for David joining us on The Boldness today. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks very much, Raf. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me too, Raf.
It's been absolutely great, and thank you very much for Rick for joining us. Thank you for sharing your time with us and listeners today, talking about Valid and the new Activate program. It sounds great. We're going to finish up with a song. And if you don't think the revolution has started, you're listening to the wrong station. This is 3CR, Voice of the People. Thank you for joining us tonight.